Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. We're over halfway through the college basketball regular season, and the standings are starting to take shape. We'll run through the biggest moments of the week, including plenty of down-to-the-wire finishes, and we'll also go over my mid-season All-Mountain West team, highlighting the best players in the conference so far. Lots to get through this week. Let's dive in. For our weekly report, let's start at the top of the standings and work our way down. Utah State at number one, now at 18-2. They took care of business against Nevada and Air Force, beating them by a combined 50 points. The Aggies still looking like the top team in the conference. Right behind them, we have New Mexico at 17-4, number one in the Mountain West at a 9-1 in conference record. They beat Fresno State by 28 points, but their big showdown was against UNLV this week. This one came down to the wire, and Donovan Dent really carried the Lobos to victory with 34 points. Usually he's dishing out assists all over the place, but he only had two in this one. Really decided to take this game over himself, and he did just that. Deaden Thomas Jr. had a chance to tie the game for UNLV late with some free throws, but he wasn't able to connect on those, so the Lobos pick up a very close road win there, and Utah State and New Mexico continue to look like the cream of the crop of this college basketball season. In third, we have Colorado State, who is really starting to put things together. They got a big-time win against Boise State with Jalen Lake hitting a game-winning three with just a few seconds to spare. They had another close call against Fresno State, but were able to prevail and beat them by 5 points. So now the Rams have won six out of their last seven. Nick Clifford is playing like an all-conference caliber player, a little bit of foreshadowing there. And with Colorado State now at 7-2 in conference, if the Aggies or Lobos were to slip up somewhere down the line in conference play, Colorado State could be a dark horse to win the regular season title. Next up, we have San Diego State, who had a very wild week. They first matched up with Air Force, which you would expect them to take care of business here, but that was not the case at all. They needed overtime for this one, and after a late putback from the Falcons, San Diego State was down to their last shot and down by 1 point. But Wayne McKinney III, the San Diego transfer, went coast to coast and hit a buzzer-beating layup to save the Aztecs. They won that game 77-76 in overtime. A heartbreaking loss for Air Force and a really close call for San Diego State, because a loss to Air Force would really dampen your tournament resume. But the Aztecs regrouped, beat Nevada by 19 in their next game, now sitting at 13-5 overall and 6-3 in conference. The Aztecs still control their own destiny in terms of getting back into March Madness. Moving down the list at number five, we have Boise State, who only had one game to play this week, and it was another heartbreaking loss, this time to Colorado State. We just talked about that Jalen Lake game-winning three-pointer. Alvaro Cardenas threw up a three at the buzzer that rimmed out, and with the Broncos sitting at 13-7, three of their seven losses have came within one possession. So it just doesn't seem like the Broncos have been able to catch a break, so we'll see if they can turn the corner in this second half of the season, really put it into second gear, because that's what they're going to have to do if they want to make it back to the NCAA tournament. Next, we have the strangest team in the Mountain West, bar none, and that is UNLV. We spent a ton of time last week talking about how UNLV was back. They just beat Utah State and San Diego State on the road. Deaden Thomas Jr.'s balling out. The role players are starting to figure it out. It seems like the Rebels are here to stay. And then immediately after I post that, they go and lose to Wyoming at home by 2 points. All of their momentum they just built up completely gone right away. We already talked about how even with those two wins, they were still digging themselves out of a hole from the week prior when they lost back-to-back games by 22 points. And now UNLV's kind of back to square one here. They did have another chance to add to their resume against New Mexico, but they did end up losing that game by 2 points. Deaden Thomas Jr. wasn't able to convert on those last second free throws. Certainly wasn't Deaden Thomas Jr.'s fault that they lost that game. He was the best player on the floor for the Rebels, as he usually is, and really went toe-to-toe with Donovan Dent, who obviously won the battle, dropping 34 points, but Deaden Thomas Jr. still had his team in a position to win this game, which was very impressive. But just the role players have just not been able to produce consistently enough for this UNLV team to take that next step that we were hoping that they would. They looked like an NCAA tournament team down the stretch of last season. We really thought with Deaden Thomas Jr. coming back, with a lot of really fun transfer ads, that that the Rebels were going to take that next step up and get back to the NCAA tournament. But at this point, it just doesn't seem like that. If you can't beat Wyoming at home, not putting the New Mexico loss in that same bracket, but this Rebels team is just too inconsistent to have any chance at making it to March Madness. Next up at number 7, we have Nevada, who is just continuing to flounder. This week, they lost to Utah State and San Diego State by a combined 40 points. They are now 11-9 on the season, 3-6 in conference. This is just not the season that Steve Alford and the Wolfpack were hoping for. Nick Davidson has still been great for them at the power forward spot. Kobe Sanders, the Cal Poly transfer, has been a very good point guard pickup for them. But just outside of them, there just hasn't been enough offensively for this Nevada team. It seems like each game, they're only going to put up 50 to 60 points. And in this year's Mountain West, where offense has really been at the forefront, it just doesn't seem like Nevada has the firepower to get into the top tier of this season. Right behind them at number 8, we have San Jose State, who only played in one game this week, but they did beat Wyoming by 9 points, improving their record to 10-11 on the year. San Jose State has looked a lot better than they did last year, which is really encouraging for Tim Miles and this squad. Josh Adugie and Will McClendon have been a great backcourt for them. The Spartans probably not going to be threatening for a Mountain West title or anything, but they are putting the foundation together to get back to a consistently competitive program. Behind them at number 9, we have Wyoming, who is now right at 500 at 10-10. They beat UNLV by 2 points, which was a very impressive win. They were able to grind that out and get the win in the Thomas and Mack Center. And then they lost to San Jose State by 9, which is a team that you would hope they would beat if you wanted them to take the next step in Sundance Wick's first year. Expectations were not too high for this Wyoming team, so as long as they can pick up a couple of upsets down the stretch like they did against UNLV, I'm going to be more than satisfied with what Sundance Wick's and the Cowboys have done this season. And then we move to the bottom two, which has remained unchanged for quite a while. Fresno State now sitting at 5-15. They were blown out by New Mexico and then put up a very good fight against Colorado State, but did ultimately lose that game by 5 points. And then in last place, we have Air Force, who is at 3-17 overall. They did lose that absolute heartbreaker to San Diego State in overtime by 1 point. Really sucks because they played so hard in that one, trying to get their first conference win of the year, and a very impressive one at that, and just came up a hair short. Then they were blown out by Utah State in their next game. The Falcons now have a 10-game losing streak. All right, our next order of business is to go over my picks for the midseason All Mountain West team. I limited myself to just 5 players, so some tough calls had to be made, but I'm pretty happy with the list I put together here. Starting at point guard, this one was real easy. We're going to go with Donovan Dent from New Mexico, averaging close to 20 points a game, leading the conference, 6.5 assists as well, shooting over 50% from the field. New Mexico in the driver's seat right now to win the Mountain West regular season title, and more than likely the Lobos will be going back to the NCAA tournament, and that is all thanks to the play of Donovan Dent. While last year he was splitting time as the showrunner with Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn Jr., with this completely being Donovan Dent's show, he has elevated his play. Dent's just been so consistently dynamic and is the driving force behind New Mexico's play so far this season. Runner-up at the point guard spot is going to be Obi Ogbeam from Wyoming, averaging over 18 points a game, a big reason why Wyoming's at 500. At the shooting guard spot, I'm going to go with Mason Falslev from Utah State. Talk about a guy that can do absolutely everything. He's averaging 15 points a game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, also averaging over 2 steals a game, near the top of the conference there. He's a 44% three-point shooter, which is just ridiculous, and Mason Falslev taking another step in his evolution. We watched him emerge as a consistent starter for the Aggies last year, and now he takes another step to an all-conference level player. I would be stunned if Falslev wasn't on the official All-Mountain West teams at the end of the season here. And the runner-up at shooting guard is his teammate Ian Martinez, who has also been playing very well, averaging over 16 points a game. I just decided to put Falslev over him because I feel like he does a little bit more and is definitely more efficient. At small forward, no surprise here, we got Neat Clifford from Colorado State, another guy that's been playing at a guaranteed all-conference level, 17.5 points per game, leading the conference with 9.5 rebounds per game as well, 4 assists assists. He can still sling the rock. Don't forget that this is a guy that had some time at point guard as well. He can really do it all. He's been very efficient, 50% from the field, 35% from three. And as Colorado State continues to march towards hopefully another March Madness appearance, it is all going to be on the back of Neat Clifford. The runner-up at the three is going to be Miles Bird from San Diego State. He's been their most prolific scorer, averaging 14 points a game. The efficiency really hasn't been there. He's shooting under 40%, but he has worked his way onto NBA draft boards. Looks like a fringe first to second round pick right now. So maybe he won't be an all-conference selection, but the NBA is definitely taking notice of what Miles Bird's up to. At power forward, we have the preseason player of the year in Tyson Dagenhart from Boise State, doing his normal thing of 18 points a game and 6 rebounds. Boise State hasn't been able to pick up some of these close losses down the stretch here, but that is not any knock on Tyson Dagenhart. He has been just as consistent and productive as we have become accustomed to seeing him. Runner up at the power forward spot is going to be Nick Davidson from Nevada. Kind of in a similar spot, he's been fantastic this year, averaging over 15 points a game and 5 rebounds. He has definitely been the best player on Nevada's team, but just the guys around him haven't really picked up the slack, so that's why Nevada hasn't been playing their best basketball. But Nick Davidson's still close to an all-conference level player. And finally, at center, we are going with Nelly Jr. Joseph from New Mexico. This guy has been playing his best basketball of his career, and it's just been so much fun to watch. It's rare that you see a center move as quickly as he does laterally, especially on the defensive end. He's averaging over 13 points a game, over 10 rebounds a game as well, over a block and steal a night. That's the other thing. He's not just a big guy in the paint that's going to swat your shot away. He's got active hands. He can poke the ball out if you're trying to dribble under the rim, if you're trying to sneak a pass through. He's not going to let that happen. Nelly Jr. Joseph has just been phenomenal, but is likely his final year in a Lobos uniform, and it's a big reason why, much like Donovan Dent, that the Lobos are on the fast track to going back to March Madness. Runner up at the five, I have Robert Vaihola from San Jose State. There's definitely a drop off from Nelly Jr. Joseph to the runner up here, but Vaihola's really come into his own. The former Nebraska transfer has started every game for San Jose State and is averaging 9 points a game, 7 rebounds, and over a block a game as well. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We've got some big episodes in the works for the coming months, so stay on your toes. Also, our Mountain West transfer tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the full list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. It's always a pleasure to bring you all the Mountain West top headlines. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.